You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Monday, May 9th. It is time to check in with Dr. Bob Weiss of Concordia Seminary. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Hey, good morning to you and your listeners.
A blessed Monday morning. How are you doing this Monday?
Well, I'm doing okay. Just my brother came down from Chicago. He's a geriatric physician, runs a clinic up there, and he's going to talk in my pastoral theology class about aging, Alzheimer's, and Parkinson's morning. So, and then he's going to take off and go fishing with my other brother, who's a Missouri Synod pastor up in Decatur. So, and I'll just stay here and do my vocationary responsibility.
No fishing for you, huh?
No, well, I asked Roger, I said, you know, why now? You know, I said, maybe you could wait and take your older brother, Richard, and this is the time fish really. And I go, okay. But I said, now you got to talk to my class. So, but he comes down usually every time I teach pastoral for an hour or more. And there'll be some other students that'll be coming in to visit because they want to hear what he has to say. And so that's, Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and the clinic he runs up there at Election Brothers right off of 355 north of Lombard. And so we're looking forward to what he has to say.
Well, good. It's so nice that our students have access to just the diverse professionals that they can learn from. I'm glad that you bring in professionals like that. Not that learning from the professors we already have isn't great, but it just adds to the great education they have there.
Well, you know, Andy, what this tells me is that I always tell the students, stick to your vocation. It doesn't mean you can't learn and be informed about other areas, but in conversation, that's important. But I brought in Reverend Ron Roma from last week from Lutheran South, who works with young people, and he was very informative about some of the things that are going on with high school students and that particular generation, the millennial generation, and so forth. And then my brother's coming in next Monday. My daughter, who's finishing her PhD and works with autistic and children, Asperger's children, and children who are disabled, she's going to come in and talk about her work with those young people who are struggling with various things in their life, and especially the families, and how these pastors, these, as my daughter would say, pre-pastor people, can go into a church and make the church available for those families who have children who are disabled, because 62% of families that have children that are disabled, whether it's Asperger's, autism, or some other physical disability, they don't bring their kids to church because they're not accessible. So it's always good to do that, and I think that's a strong point of what we do at the Concordia Seminary in terms of helping expand their knowledge and what's going on outside of the box of Concordia Seminary.
Absolutely. The more we can learn from others around us, certainly, it's helpful.
Well, it's very important because, you know, us professors and pastors and deaconesses and DCEs and other church professionals, you know, we have, and God's taught us what we need to do in our particular vocation, but there are other people out there that have other areas that can help inform us, structure our thinking, and bring us closer to what we're supposed to do to serve and love our neighbors. So I think that's all. It's all good.
We're good. Very good. Well, okay. What topics
go
do you have?
What I've got here, I've got quite a list here, as you would expect from good old Bob Weiss, friend of the friendless here. One thing is the Wall Street Journal last week on the 5th and the 6th, not too many days removed from today, had more articles on the bathroom issue and the transgender situation because they're not backing down because some lawmakers and some other companies are wanting to move out of North Carolina now because of their law that says you have to, you know, whatever your sex is from conception and certainly birth, you know, you're not, you have to use those bathrooms that designate, you know, if you're male, you're male, if you're female, female, and so forth. And they're not backing down from that. So that article, there was another article in the Wall Street Journal that talked about, now this is really important, there's calls to extend the embryonic human life when they're made in a test tube.
Well, it sounds like, unfortunately, we lost our connection there with Dr. Weiss. We'll see if we can get him back here in just a moment. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. Good morning, Dr. Weiss. Sorry, we lost you there for a second.
Who knows what technology can do or not do for us, huh? Well, what I was talking about was this embryonic stem cell research now that's back into the fold. Here in the United States and over the United Kingdom, in England, researchers, and this came out of the journal Nature that I read, embryos up that are made in a petri dish that is outside the human body by the union of sperm and egg, and they are supposed to be destroyed after 14 days if they're still alive. And most of the time they don't survive that long because they're implanted usually between day 3 and 5 into the mother's womb or into a surrogate womb. Well, what they've done now is to keep these embryonic human beings, and I emphasize that part, human beings, up to 14 days. And that means that now they're saying, you know, now we can research these and spend more time working on embryonic stem cell research and better implantation issues for women who are seeking to have a child, and men, of course, through this in vitro fertilization process. So to me, this is very troubling, of course, because it continues to negate the moral status of the human embryo as a living human being from conception on, and the rather reckless view by our current society who support, in terms of, Richard, support this, I might add, in terms of science, but those that do, this is going to be bringing back up to the surface, which has been kind of down below for some years, this whole issue of embryonic. Because by the 14th day, you have all of these cells that can blood and spleen and liver and so forth. And so they say, aha, this, and get better answers to these kinds of things. Another topic that is pushing through here, I want to be kind of quick about this, is that they're in the United States. Now, this is really stunning. The United States Director of Intelligence, James Clapper, whom I think many of your listeners have heard on TV and radio, United States Director of Intelligence, James Clapper, has talked about this CRISPR. Some time ago, I talked about this CRISPR, which is an acronym for gene editing, you know, kind of going in and taking out the bad gene and putting the good gene in, or just simply taking the gene and saying, I want better intelligence or better eyesight. If we can find out where that is in the human genome, in our cells, maybe we can improve people. But what he has said recently, and you may be aware of this as well, he says this is, could be develop a weapons of mass destruction, and that this could destroy the human race. Now, this is from the United States Director of Intelligence. And you know what? There are people that are saying, yeah, that is a possibility that you could develop an infectious agent using this gene editing technology, and it could be spread without anybody knowing it. And I'm not trying to scare people with this, them to be informed that when you get into managing and manipulating God's human genetic technology, the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11 and its city is resurfacing its direction where people want to make a name for themselves. I personally think that the gene, the human genome, is a self-built-in stop system. It's going to be so difficult to do any of this. I don't see it happening, but then again, I'm very cautious about all of that. The last couple of things here is that in response to that, there's been some articles recently about gene enhancement that have been published in United States medical journals where it's interesting, 80% of the people, however, surveyed about enhancing genes using this gene editing program don't like it. So I think that's a good thing to hear. And then I think lastly, there's a bold attempt here in the United States and in India, believe it or not, between doctors to reverse brain death. And they think that they have 20 subjects ready to go that have been diagnosed with brain death. That is, they're flatlined. They consider dead. And they want to try and reverse respiration, circulation, so forth. And they think they have the answer to this. Guess this is a good one, Andy, because they've been studying frogs. So so those are some of the headlines, and I didn't even get into the surrogacy stuff, but those are some of the main things that are in the headlines these days regarding bioethics.
How very interesting. Now, you were talking about gene editing in the human genome. I had a chance to talk with Dr. Robert Carter. He's senior scientist and speaker for the Creation Ministries International last Monday. And very interesting in terms of, if you want to know more about the Human Genome Project, he's a great guy to talk to about that.
Yeah, the whole project began way back in 1990, and they finished it in 2001, which I'm sure he told you, and it was published in two scientific journals, Nature and Science. And I'm not sure what his take is, other than this is part of God's work. I call it God's technology, the human genome. And I think that within that context, people can be informed on what it's about, because in every body cell, and I suspect the good doctor said this, you have 6 feet of genetic material, 1.8 meters. And what I do is to bring in this bubble gum. You could buy this rolled bubble gum. And this rolled bubble gum that young kids chew, even some of us adults, is 6 feet. So when I roll that out, they learn a lesson. Every time they buy this rolled bubble gum that this God put into the nucleus of every body cell, is 6 feet of this genetic material. And it's just an amazing creation. And so I think I look at it this way through the creation event, which I'm sure the doctor had a little bit about what he's done, but I really do think it's great what he says about the human genome.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And he'll be speaking at the Society of Creation Conference this summer, coming up in June. Well, sounds like we're having a tough time with the phone lines this morning. We lost touch with Dr. Bob Weiss. We'll catch up with him again next week. Hope you can join us for that conversation and more. We've got our study of the daily New Testament reading coming up in the next hour. We'll study with Pastor Dustin Beck today. Hope you can join us for that as we head down to, he's in Corpus Christi, Texas, at Trinity Lutheran Church. We'll study with him in Luke chapters 18 and 19. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.